My guest at this time is Larry Haas. He served as the spokesman for the Clinton White House Budget Office. He's been a guest of mine many times when it comes to different fiscal debates here in Washington. And we've got two big ones coming up. By the end of this month will be the end of the fiscal year, and it's time for Congress to appropriate money for spending for fiscal year 2014. And just a couple of weeks after that is our next debt ceiling deadline. And so both of those debates promise to be a whole lot of fun. Larry, it's good to be with you again.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me, Greg.
Larry, as we get closer to these deadlines, obviously the tension gets higher. On Friday, House conservatives were thrilled. The party was able to push through, with the help of two Democrats, a bill to fund the government at existing levels, but completely defund Obamacare. Obviously, the chances of that moving forward in the Senate are not good. In your estimation, what is the crux of this debate?
Well, I think what you've got to keep in mind is that we've got short-term challenges, and then we've got more long-term challenges. So the short-term challenge you're talking about is the fact that October 1st will have the beginning of the next fiscal year, and we need funding of some kind in place. Now, the betting, based on talking to people in the White House and on the Hill, is the following: that we will have a short-term so-called continuing resolution, a short-term spending measure, just to keep the government funded, probably initially for just a couple of weeks. And Republicans, in particular, would like to see the spending issue tied to the debt limit issue, so that those two things would come together in the middle of October. You mentioned before that we've got the need to raise the debt limit by around the middle of October, as Treasury Secretary Jack Lew has said. Now there's a lot of maneuvering to put lawmakers in the position of taking up the debt limit and taking up the spending issue, that is, the fiscal 2014 spending levels, all at the same time, and to try to, frankly, push some things through that the White House objects to, because it is in the context of must-pass legislation like funding the government as well as raising the debt limit. So it gets very complicated, and there's a lot of maneuvering going on, but that's probably where we're headed.
So with both of these coming to a head potentially in mid-October, the stakes are going to be even higher than if it had just been the debt ceiling deadline debate. So what kind of rhetoric, what kind of positions do we expect from each side here?
Republicans have got plenty of other things they want to do. They want to not only retain the current low funding levels for government agencies, but actually even take them lower if they can. There's talk about trying to attach a framework for tax reform on the debt limit and continuation of spending bills. So all sorts of things. Now, from the White House perspective, they'd like as high of a funding level for government agencies as they can possibly take, and they don't want these measures to be complicated by all of the things that the Republicans want. You know, defunding Obamacare and tax reform and other measures like that that the White House doesn't want to debate and doesn't want to accept. So you've got these two different perspectives here, where the administration would like clean legislation and the Republicans would like very dirty legislation, dirty in the sense of having a lot of things attached to it.
All right, let's dig into this a little more. There have been some reports out there, Larry, that the president was going to push hard for reversing the sequestration cuts. We haven't actually heard anything from him on that. Do you expect that to happen now or no?
That is clearly part of the deliberations that are going on behind the scenes. I mean, once again, there's a split in Republican ranks. Those who work over at the appropriations committees would probably like to get higher funding levels, that is, higher than the sequestration level, because as they write the 12 appropriations bills to fund the government, they see that they don't feel, even as Republicans, that they have enough money to fund agencies at adequate levels. Obviously, there are hardcore Republicans who feel otherwise and would like to actually take funding down even further below sequestration if they possibly could. The administration would like to see a replacement for sequestration, see it replaced by, you know, what anyone would consider a more rational kind of budgeting. That is, rather than across the board funding cuts for defense and domestic programs, you know, a more serious, considered judgment as to what ought to get more money and what ought to get less money. I don't know how much success the administration's going to have. Maybe they'll get a partial turnoff of sequester. Maybe they'll get a one-year turnoff of sequester. It's hard for me to believe that they'll get more than a two-year turnoff of sequester, and they may get no turnoff whatsoever. We're pretty early on in the deliberations.
Larry, you said something a moment ago I also want to follow up on, and that is that the Democrats want a clean hike in the debt ceiling. Republicans want to make it dirty.
Right.
You obviously have very different perspectives on this. Republicans and others who are just concerned about the amount of money that we're spending, even though deficits are down this year, they would still be record highs 5 years ago. So they're not exactly necessarily embracing $600, $700 billion deficits if we can do better than that. So why do you believe clean is better than dirty in this sense?
I believe clean is always better than dirty when it comes to the debt limit because, frankly, when it comes to debt limit legislation, we are, at the end of the day, talking about the full faith and credit of the United States. If you don't raise the debt limit on time, what it means is you're not paying the bills as they come due. You are defaulting, which is akin to a family, you know, falling into bankruptcy. We've never done that, and we never should do it. And we should not play politics with the debt limit. And if the truth be told, Greg, we really shouldn't have a debt limit because, after all, we alone among major industrialized nations have this very arcane system in which debt rises and somehow we have a statutory limit on how much debt we can have at any one time, and we have to pass laws to raise the debt limit. You know, raising the debt limit just means that you're paying the bills. If you want less debt, the way to accomplish that is to stop cutting taxes and to stop raising spending. The debt limit is the net effect of what lawmakers have done for months or years previously. So I feel very strongly that we not only should have clean debt limit legislation that should pass, but that, frankly, in an ideal world, we wouldn't have a debt limit to begin with.
Larry, the counter to that, of course, is like it's like a family budget. If you get a humongous credit card bill that you can't sustain on a month-to-month basis, of course you're going to pay the bill, but you need to enact changes in your spending habits, perhaps, in order to make sure that this isn't a perpetual problem. When we keep having this debt ceiling issue, how do we make sure that we're not just granting ourselves the ability to get into further and further debt?
Greg, as I mentioned before, Congress, working with the White House, has all the authority that it needs to rein in rising debt and eventually balance the budget and eventually start paying off debt, which is what we did in the late 1990s, which, by the way, was not that long ago. They have all the authority that they need. They can vote to cut spending, and they can vote to raise taxes, and what they really should do probably is a combination of those two things. Raise taxes on those who can afford to pay more, and also take a very serious look at cutting spending in places where, frankly, we see waste, we see unnecessary spending, but not in places where we're making investments that actually will help the economy down the road, like biomedical research and infrastructure and things like that. They have all the authority that they need. What I don't think we should do is put the nation's full faith and credit at risk by making the debt limit legislation a political football, which it has been for all too many years, and which it will once more be this fall unless something very strange happens to intervene in the course of the next 6 weeks.
We're talking with Larry Haas. And Larry, let's go a little bit bigger picture on the debt now. We know that the overall debt is headed towards $17 trillion. A lot of analysts say if you factor in unfunded liabilities, we're approaching $100 trillion. Some say it's way over that. Annual deficits recently have been over $1 trillion. Now we're in the high hundreds of billions. How dire is our debt situation right now?
A lot less dire than you're making it out to be. Those are very frightening figures. The fact of the matter is that what is key here is the relationship between the size of the debt, the size and direction of the debt, and the size and the direction of the economy as a whole. Debt can continue to rise if the economy is growing faster than the debt is rising. And we have had numerous examples of that through the course of the post-World War II period, where the debt was continuing to rise, the economy was growing so much faster than the debt that debt as a percentage of the economy was shrinking. And that's what we want to see happen. We want debt as a percentage of GDP, gross domestic product, to go down, which we had for long periods of the post-World War II period, from 1945 all through the 1950s, debt as a percentage of GDP was declining sharply. Now, until very recently, debt as a percentage of the economy was growing at rather frightening rates. It has actually slowed down quite a bit. It is continuing to rise, but at a much slower pace. And that's not terribly surprising because, as you just said, deficits are much lower in recent years than they have been in years just prior to that. We're actually not too far from a situation in which we could stabilize the debt as a share of the economy and actually get it to start shrinking. We don't have to do that much more, probably save about $1 trillion over the course of the next 10 years. So the situation was much worse about 3 years ago than it is today. I'm not saying we don't have any work to do. I'm not saying it's not a serious problem. But we're actually within striking distance of being at a place which would make our situation a hell of a lot better than it seemed to be 3 or 4 years ago.
What would be a sign that our debt is dire?
Oh, if the debt as a percentage of the economy, which began to grow rapidly several years ago and has now slowed down, if for some reason, and I'm not expecting this to happen, but if for some reason the debt once again took off, either because the economy, as a share of the economy, either because we started cutting taxes again and raising spending, or because the economy itself slowed down in ways that we're not expecting, then the situation would once again become dire. So again, debt as a share of the economy is slowing. If it once again begins to take off at rates that it was growing maybe 3 or 4 years ago, then yes, the situation would once more become dire.
Larry, we'll have to leave it there. As always, sir, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Larry Haas served as spokesman for the Clinton White House Budget Office. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.